Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome. Some of you have dipped in and out. Some of you, this is maybe your first night at the conference. We're so glad that you're here. And for those of you who've been here all weekend long, you'll be like, oh, no, this guy again. And so I'm just going to introduce our speaker for tonight, who's obviously been with us all weekend, and he's going to be preaching tomorrow as well. It's Dr. Jordan Tseng. Jordan is here with his wife, Sonia. They're here in Chicago from, they live in Hawaii, and they're here. So it's a sign and wonder of the kingdom that they are here with us in Chicago, and it's so cold, and it's going to get colder, but they're going to leave. So anyway, we're so grateful for you, Jordan and Sonia, and of course, Robin is here with us. Hi, Robin. And Eloise is here with us. Hi, Eloise. And of course, Steve and Cindy are here with us. And so we're so, so grateful. Get ready for tonight. We're going to probably be do lots of things. I mean, I've just watched Jordan in his element all weekend. And it's interesting to watch him because he's the kind of person that can sort of shepherd the room pastorally in the moment and also somehow be able to step out of the way. And it's a gift. So we're grateful for him. And without further ado, let's invite him up.
Aloha, everybody. I think by tomorrow, we'll probably have that. You know, the Spirit will fall, the kingdom will come, and it will be awesome. That's kind of like a worship workout right there. So everybody roll your shoulders, crack your neck, get ready. So what I want to talk about tonight is the kingdom of heaven come to earth in the form of healing ministry, supernatural healing. When Jesus showed up on the planet 2,000 years ago, he started doing public ministry. And this was his thesis statement. He walked out in front of everybody and he said, hey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or, you know, depending on the translation in the gospel you read, the kingdom of God is near. Or the kingdom of heaven is with us. And the idea was that that word kingdom probably more properly translated something like dominion or that which is controlled by heaven, right? The dominion of heaven is now tangible. It's now on earth. It's now in our hands. And nobody had ever heard this message before. People were confused about it. You know, they thought maybe this was a political messiah that was saying, oh, you know, I'm going to restore the monarchy of Israel under the one true God, and that's the dominion that I'm talking about. But he was talking about something much deeper and much more transcendent and supernatural, if you will. He was talking about the order of heaven. That's the word that I think of. The order of heaven brought to the chaos of the world, right? And I love to think of it like that. And then he went about demonstrating the order of heaven made manifest, made real on the earth, right? That was a huge chunk of his ministry. And he did that unlike anyone had ever done before. For instance, in heaven, is anybody sick? No, in heaven, that would be terribly out of order, right? So those of us who manifest the order of heaven on earth, well, we cure sick people. And so Jesus went about just curing all sorts of sick people in all sorts of ways. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. In heaven, is anybody like oppressed by demons? No, that would be terribly out of order in heaven. So those of us who manifest the order of heaven on earth cause demons to flee from people. They get free from spiritual oppressions and stuff like that. And Jesus probably in the early days of his ministry was actually known more as an exorcist, as a deliverer, or someone who cast out demons, because that was a new style ministry that even the religious Jews didn't have a lot of experience with. In heaven, is anybody poor? Does anybody lack things? Is there like injustice and depravity of material things in heaven? No, I mean, in heaven, that would be incredibly out of order. So those of us who manifest the order of heaven on earth, well, we bring plenty to people, you know. We establish forms of justice on the earth, right? We can give whatever is needed, even if we have to do it supernaturally on occasion, which is what the miracle of the loaves and fishes was about, right? You know that story? Jesus and his disciples are out in the middle of the countryside with a big crowd of folks. They have nothing to eat. So what they do is they steal a little boy's lunch, and Jesus gives thanks for it, and they pray over it, and they kind of pass it out, and supernaturally the food gets multiplied, and at the end of it, the disciples have huge baskets of leftovers for themselves. That they actually do that miracle a couple different times in the Gospels. It's recorded in all the Gospels. Because the rule is, in the kingdom of heaven, whatever you have ends up being enough. Right? You might not have a fat checking account, but somehow it ends up being enough, doesn't it? Right? Because that's the order of heaven. In heaven, is anybody ignorant of the love and the character of God? Well, of course not. So those of us who manifest the order of heaven on earth, we bring people into knowledge of God's love and God's character and that sort of relationship, which is vital in the core of everything. You get the idea, right? So Jesus just kind of brought the order of heaven wherever he went, you know, and manifested it in little pockets, which were great promises and tokens of the coming kingdom in which the restoration becomes more wholesale. And even death itself gets swallowed up and time gets swallowed up. We live in eternity. You probably know the story if you've read the end of the book. And then did those of us who follow him to participate in the kingdom. And in fact, that's usually how Jesus talked about it. He didn't talk a lot about, you know, are you in into eternity? Are you saved? It kind of wasn't his language so much. He said, well, would you like to enter into the kingdom? Would you like to enter into this heavenly order instead of living in worldly chaos? And that was the idea. And those of us who minister the kingdom of heaven on earth strive to minister it as Jesus did, because he is our model in all things. Are you with me so far? Yes. Everybody, let's do the snaps thing. All right, we're getting the hang of that too. I feel like you guys are just coming along. So what I want to talk about specifically tonight, just very briefly, and then I want to practice it. I want to talk about healing ministry. I want to talk about bringing the order of heaven against the chaos of sickness and the chaos of injury and decay and things like that. I love healing ministry because it is just so illustrative of God's grace and God's kindness, and people have a pocket for it, and everybody's been sick and everybody's been hurt at some point. So this is a very basic kingdom ministry that Christians have been doing for 2,000 years. I want to kind of blow through just some practical how-tos and tips and techniques and something stuff like that. And then the latter half of the rest of our evening together, I want to practice, you know, in kind of a workshop-y way, kind of take some of the drama app out of it and just kind of go at it together. Because just as we said last night, the house of God is a prophetic community, the house of God is a healing community. Let me start by asking you, who is going to heal people tonight? You or God? Yes. You are. The power is going to come from God, but you are going to do the ministry. You get it? Just like I'm teaching tonight, presumably the truth and the wisdom comes from God, but I'm doing the teaching, right? You guys are going to be the healing team, right? Because you are kingdom people. And in following Jesus, you are called to spread the good order of heaven, to make it manifest on earth, however and wherever you can, to the extent that you can. And that's what we're going to talk about. Still with me? All right, so here are some practical questions you might have with respect to supernatural healing ministry in particular. And just keep these in the back of your head, and in about 20 minutes, I should have probably answered all of these things, at least to my satisfaction, and hopefully to yours as well. Why do some people seem to get better results in healing ministry than other people? I told myself I'd do a little talk story again tonight, share some healing stories. Maybe I'll do that as I go. Here's one that I like just from recent days. Just kind of get our blood pumping. One of the bright spots of the COVID pandemic for my church, it was really hard for us. We couldn't meet for about 2 years, but our youth group did really well. They started meeting on Zoom, and then they started getting together in little small groups. They eventually had this retreat, and our youth group has just encountered God in a really powerful way. All of our teens, right? They always do better than the adults, don't they? And they went away to this retreat with some kids from other churches around the islands and had a great time. They really encountered the Spirit there in powerful ways. A lot of them got touched by the Spirit, and they had healing times. My son came back from this retreat. He was 16. He's turned 17 since, but said, "I'm a changed man." Right? I've encountered the Spirit. Here's my favorite healing from their youth retreat. There was this girl there who was a cutter, sort of, you know, suicidal and self-hatred, and it just scarred up her arms terribly. So, of course, the kids gathered around to pray for her, right? And she just encountered Jesus and came to great faith. And while they prayed for her, she didn't just get healed of her depression and her heart. Her scars disappeared on her arms. Isn't that cool? All right, that's my one talk story. I've done it. Now, why do some people seem to get better results in healing ministry than other people do? Have you noticed that? Like, there's some people who just kind of fall out of bed, bump into somebody, and then they get healed. You have anybody like that around here? I've known one or two people like that. Is it that God loves those people better than he loves you? Rhetorical question. Well, you have doubt. So there, maybe, yeah. No. Do you need to be specially gifted from God to heal somebody? All right. If you try to heal someone and fail, what should you do then? For how many of you does that question stop you from trying? What if it doesn't work? It's so emotional, right? You don't want to damage somebody's faith while you try to fix the damage in their body. So that's an important question. And if you try to heal somebody and fail, does that mean that it was not God's will for them to be healed? All right. Let's see if we can answer those. What I want to talk about is just my basic understanding of supernatural ministry of all sorts, which is that we partner with God to get things done in the world. And this is just very important to understand, and that goes for all ministry, okay? Arguably, the most important ministry that any of us does is evangelism. And God has picked you guys to gather people into the kingdom. You are the foot soldiers of the kingdom, right? You preach the word. You manifest the kingdom in order to gather folks into saving grace, right? Does God appear in the sky and preach himself? No, he chooses you to do it. We partner with God to get things done. You might criticize his business model, partnering with you. Everybody very slickly just look to the left and to the right and then just kind of shake your head. You know, perhaps not a great business model, but he partners with us to get things done. And so it is, it's our obligation, our responsibility to try to grow in the ministries that he gives to us, like evangelism and like healing, as we covered before. So what I did when this occurred to me, that healing ministry wasn't just pestering God to heal people any more than evangelism was pestering God to go evangelize people. Right? I wanted to get better at evangelism. I wanted to get better at healing. So I asked myself, well, how do you do that? What does the Bible say about growing in power for healing people supernaturally? So I came up with this little gizmo that I call the power equation. And there's nothing magical about it. It's just a way to organize thinking on the subject, okay? The basic premise is this. The more closely and thoroughly you walk with Jesus, the more able you are to flow in the power of the Holy Spirit on earth. Does that make sense? That kind of makes sense, all right? And you probably don't need me to explain that to you. But what I've done is I've just come up with a little provocation to get you to think about some ways in which you might be able to walk more closely with Jesus, particularly in a ministry sort of way. So I call this the power equation: authority plus gifting plus faith plus consecration equals the amount of power you have to pull off the miracle. It's just a model. It's not quite right. It's just a helpful structure, okay? That's all it is. So it's not scripture. It's just a teaching trick. And the idea of putting it in an equation is to kind of convey to you that there's not just one thing that makes a healing miracle work for you as you try to minister it to a person. There are several things that can come into play. I say that because there are pop theologies out there, like sometimes it's called faith healing or word of faith or something like that. And the idea is that if I try to minister a miracle, a healing miracle to you, and you don't get healed, then the answer is, well, you didn't have enough faith to be healed. Ooh, that hurts, you know, particularly if you're trying to heal a non-Christian. Well, they're not supposed to have enough faith to be healed, right? So what's going on there exactly? In scripture, from time to time, dead people get raised from the dead. Jesus raises a couple, you know, some of the Old Testament prophets raise a couple, Paul, Peter, they all kind of resurrect dead people from the dead. My question is, how much faith does a dead person have? Not a lot of doubt, but probably not a lot of faith. So you might think, well, it's not the faith of the person receiving the healing miracle, it's the faith of the person giving the healing miracle that counts, right? So if I fail to heal you, it's because I didn't have enough faith, and then I kind of crumple in guilt. If anybody in scripture had perfect faith, who was it? And yet when Jesus went to his hometown, it said he can do no miracles there. He eventually managed to heal a few people of some minor conditions, evidently. So it's not your faith, it's not my faith, maybe it's our faith added together. And I think that's right. I think that we are supposed to be a house of faith. We're supposed to all bring our faith to ministry and work together. And you see Jesus pastoring faith in a room often in scriptures, like when he's going to raise the dead girl in Mark chapter 5, there are some funeral mourners there, and they mock his attempt. And so he kicks them out. He says, I can't deal with that attitude. And then he turns to the parents, and he says, don't be afraid, just believe. Like, I don't want to have to kick you out. So give me some faith instead of fear, right? Because faith is the opposite of fear. And so they help him out, and then he raises the dead girl. So faith is an environmental thing. Yet you get weird stories like 2 Kings chapter 13, where the story is that Elisha the prophet has died, the greatest miracle-working prophet in the Old Testament, and his body gets thrown into a hole in the ground, a cistern, for burial. That's how they did it there. In the graveyard, a little while later, some grave diggers are digging a grave for another guy who died, and some Moabite raiders came galloping over the horizon to raid the crops of the Israelites. And the gravediggers panic. They want to get out of there before the raiders ride them down. And so they pick up the dead body and they throw it into Elisha's tomb. Do you know this story? And when the dead body hits Elisha's bones, it comes back to life. So whose faith was that? It's like the dead guys or the other dead guys. Right, so I notice things like this when I read these stories, and I just conclude that there's other stuff going on, and that's my only point. Like, we want to be simple, but we don't want to be simplistic, right? God's rarely formulaic, and the idea is just to walk closely with him, and so I've kind of organized things into four categories. Faith is one of them, and maybe the most important one, but if you're low on faith and high in something else, or high in faith and low in something else, you can still pull off the miracle. That's the idea, and that's the idea that I want to get across. Ain't nobody perfect. So you just do the best you can in all the areas in which you can, and then you try and minister the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's the deal. Follow me? All right, that was step one. Now I'm just going to define these things because they can be weird words. Authority, gifting, faith, and consecration. leads to power, lead to power. And the idea is just to have as much of anyone as you can at any given time. And then you fire away. Because that's what we do. Faith is trying. By authority, I mean the sort of authority that comes to us by our obedient relationship with Jesus. You know, the sort of authority that we read about in like Luke chapter 10, Matthew 10, the first time when Jesus sends out his disciples without him to minister alone for the first time, you know. And they come back and they say, "Lord, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." You know, because of our relationship with you, because you sent us out, because you authorized us, we were able to pull off some pretty cool things, I must say, Jesus. And Jesus is like, "Hey, way to go. Praise you, Father, that you have revealed such things to little children as these." I always took a sort of a backhand comment, you know. It's like, yeah, these juvenile so-and-sos pulled it off. Wow, God, you're awesome, Dad, that sort of thing. It works in the same way it kind of works in the military, right? If I'm a private in the military and I go to the front lines and I say, "Hey, guys, charge," who's going to listen to me? Well, nobody, because I'm just a rank private. But if I go to the front lines and I have a note from the general, signed, you know, General Awesome, and I say, "Okay, everybody, charge in the name of the general, right here, I got it," then who's going to listen to me? Everybody's going to listen to me, provided that the orders I give are in keeping with the orders I received from the general. So there has to be a relationship of obedience there, right? And our relationship of obedience with Christ allows us to wield the authority of Christ in the world. That's kind of basic gospel ministry training that we read about. So live an obedient life. Do not live a disobedient life. You heard it here first. Try to obey God, not disobey God. Now, if you disobey God, you know what? He loves you as much as ever. If you disobey God, there is an outrageous amount of grace, an outrageous amount of forgiveness for you. But your disobedience might compromise the amount of authority that you have to bring to supernatural ministry. For instance, if you are addicted to alcohol and you are trying to kick a demon of addiction out of someone else, do you think that demon's going to listen to you? So there's a real cost to disobedience. I tell you what, the thing that drives me to my knees in repentance most often is not just my thirst for righteousness, it's my failure to be the minister that I want to be in the world. Right? When you fail to heal the sick little kid, you're like, ugh. I don't guilt trip myself, but I kind of think, you know, is there a way in which I could really live more in accordance with the order of heaven that I proclaim? You get it? No guilt, only grace. But I do try to grow. I do try to grow in obedience. One of the reasons, I'm going to ask for some words of knowledge from the folks who are at the workshop we did this afternoon. And they're going to share with us some things that they heard from the Lord that he wants to heal tonight, and then we're going to respond in obedience to those words of knowledge. I like to ask God to guide me. I do it every day. It's, what are my marching orders for today? Because if God tells you to do something and you do it, then you have that much more obedience in your life and that much more authority. I love the story of Peter on the water with Jesus in the boat, you know, and remember Jesus walks out across the water in the storm, and Peter and the other guys are in the boat, and Peter's like, "Jesus is having a great time. I'm having a terrible time. I'm sick and tired of being afraid in life." And he says to Jesus, "Lord, if that's you, tell me to come." I love that moment because it's as if Peter figured out, I can't walk on water. That's impossible. But if you tell me to do it, I think I can. Give me an opportunity to obey, and my supernatural power will go up. You see? Peter was often ingenious in that way. Tell me what to do, and then I really will be that much more able to do it. Right? And Jesus says, "Come on." And Peter jumps out of the boat. And my church loves that because it's the first recorded instance of surfing in human history. That's authority. Gifting, we know how spiritual gifts work, probably. You know, if you have a gift in an area, you're just better able to do things in that area. And Paul tells us in Corinthians that the Holy Spirit distributes manifestations of the Spirit to each person as he determines. Everybody has a different gift. Some have prophecy, some words of knowledge, words of wisdom, teaching, healing, of course, is listed there. In Romans 12, he lists leadership and compassion, all sorts of ways in which we can be gifted. Do you need to be gifted in healing to heal people? No. But it helps, right? And so if you want to do healing ministry and you don't have really a strong gift of healing from God, how do you grow in it? How do you get more of it? What do you think? Ask God to give it to you? Sure. Paul says, eagerly desire the greater gifts in 1 Corinthians 14. He's talking about prophecy there, but I believe he means ask for the gifts that are most useful for you in your context. If you work in a hospital, hey, you might want to ask for the gift of healing. I'm just saying, right? So you can ask God, you can petition him to give it to you, but there is a lazier way to do it, and therefore it is my preferred way to do it. Preach it, brother. Finally, I get some witness. What is it? What's the laziest way to get the gift of healing if you don't have it? Keep on doing it. Practice makes perfect. Yeah? Get someone who does have it and bring them with you to the hospital. That's what I'm talking about. That's lazy because all you have to do is exploit your friends. Whole delegation. Yeah, there are a whole bunch of people. And I really think that's what 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 are about. Everybody has a different gift. You must honor the gift in everyone and you must learn to exploit everyone. It doesn't actually say that word exploit, but I think it's a good word, right? If you need a prophetic word, you go to the prophetically gifted person. If you need some healing, you go grab the gifted healer and you bring with you. If you need a gifted musician, right, you identify them and put them on stage and let them lead worship. How about that? So super, super obvious. So know who's gifted in what and exploit your friend. Just turn to the people next to you and say, I'm going to exploit you. I just feel a great surge in love and expectation. The body of Christ together. Faith, we already talked about, right? Jesus talks about faith a ton. We're going to talk about it a little bit tomorrow morning in the sermon, I think. But there are like 9 times in the Gospels where Jesus does a healing miracle and then says to the person, your faith has made you well. Jesus was a nut for faith. I think he designs the universe. God has designed the universe such that it's meant to provoke trust from us, right? We're supposed to trust in God. Another word for trust is faith. And so it makes sense that if we are trusting in God, if we are trying in the name of God, if we are taking risks for God, that power would flow better in that atmosphere, right? And so the question is, how do we grow in faith if we don't have it? We're going to try and pull off miracles here in about 10 minutes, miracles of healing. How do we increase faith if we don't have it? Well, that's a great question. You know, but we do whatever we can. You know, the reason I do talk story and I share healing stories on nights like this is because, you know, testimony releases faith. But where there is faith, you can do a lot. And where there isn't faith, you will struggle to do much. And I'll just put that thought in your head for now. Faith is the most basic supernatural ministry there is. To inspire faith in one another is the bedrock of everything else that we do in terms of kingdom manifestation. Last point, I use the word consecration, which is a fancy word that doesn't get used much anymore. Literally, it means with sacrifice, with blood, you know, with sacrifice. That which you sacrifice to the Lord, he will make powerful for you. That which you sacrifice to the Lord, he will make powerful for you. If you think about it, a ton of the Old Testament is about this point exactly, right? How do you make vessels holy for temple use? Well, there are all of these laws. You have to sacrifice a goat, and that's not true. But, you know, you dedicate, you devote. Paul would eventually say to Timothy in the New Testament, the point, Timothy, is for all of us to be sacred vessels, to set aside ourselves for the use of the Lord in the world. You know, what have you sacrificed to the Lord? If you prayed for 10 minutes today, those were 10 minutes that you sacrificed to the Lord, and he will return that to you in power. There are many of you who are single. And if you're single in the kingdom of God, you're living a celibate life. You're sacrificing your sexuality for the Lord. And this is an underrated sacrifice. And I just want to encourage you, if you are making that sacrifice, that consecration, that set aside of something as fundamental as sexuality, you are very powerful as a result. The world cheapens that sacrifice, and I don't like it. You know, you have sacrificed that thing to the Lord. It is so precious, and it releases such incredible power for you. It makes you a healing person in a hurt world, a world that has been hurt deeply in that area. I digress, but you get the point, right? When Jesus' disciples failed to cast the demon out of the epileptic boy in Mark chapter 9, they came to him afterwards and said, "Why couldn't we cast out the spirit of infirmity?" And he said, "Well, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting." In other words, like, you know, a little more sacrifice, a little more consecration, a little more devotion, and you would have flowed better. We could unpack that more. But the idea is that what you set aside for God, he returns to you in power and purpose. You're sacrificing some time to be here this weekend. Good job. None of your sacrifices fail to be significant. You can trust the Lord on that. Here's the healing model. Now I'm going to train you in 2 minutes. Here's the healing model. You want to heal somebody? You say this: "In the name of Jesus, be healed." Try it. Congratulations, you are trained in healing ministry. That's how you do it. Now I can be more advanced than you if you want. "In the name of Jesus, leg be healed." Say it. I've been doing healing ministry for like 30 years, and I can tell you that that one works really well for problems in the lower extremities. "In the name of Jesus, fever be broken." That one works really well when people have a temperature. In other words, you don't have to be a genius to pull this off. You just have to figure out some way to do it. Right? How did Jesus heal people? Well, sometimes he gave commands. Sometimes he made prophetic declarations. "Your daughter is healed. Your servant is healed." And as he spoke it, it happened. Right? You can release a healing with a prophecy. Sometimes he just grabbed people and picked them up, like Peter's mother-in-law. "We need lunch. Come on." If you know that story. Sometimes he just laid hands on people. Sometimes he used spit. Why did he use spit with the deaf ears? Instead of like speaking a command, hint, hint. Because the deaf guy couldn't hear him until he was healed. So he picked touch, you know, and used saliva because that was kind of like a folk remedy. So you just pick a way that makes sense given the circumstance. There's no magic formula, okay? You can use methods that build somebody's faith. Why did Jesus give a command to the paralyzed beggars? Because they were used to being passive. So he told them what to do. He gave them an opportunity to obey and released a little authority in their lives. Sometimes healing takes time because healing, like everything in the kingdom of God, flows from person to person. So in the blind man in Bethsaida, Jesus laid on hands, then said, "Well, what do you see?" And the guy said, "Well, I see trees. They look like men walking." In other words, I can see a little bit, but it's still blurry, right? It was a partial healing. And so what did Jesus do? He put his hands back on the blind guy. Lather, rinse, repeat. So even Jesus had to take 2 whacks. You might have to take 20. It's okay. It's okay, right? The kingdom of God flows from person to person. So whatever works, you stick at it and you are encouraged. Healing can take time, but you stick with it. Occasionally, when you're trying to heal someone, you have to cast out a demon. You know, something will manifest. We're not going to talk about casting demons out this weekend. But the good news is that the power that is in you for healing people is the exact same power that you need for casting out demons. So if you feel like there's a spirit blocking the way, you just say, you spirit of sickness, step off in Jesus' name. You know, they will respect your authority and your power and your faith and your consecration as well. Right? Their job is to get beat up by us. It's a cruddy job description, but they deserve it. That's really all I have to say about healing ministry. I consider you fully trained. And the fact is, you probably had some idea about how it should go down anyway. I just want to encourage you as we enter into the ministry phase of the evening to not pester God to do the healing, but to expect God to empower you to do the healing. We talked about it first, because who are the healers here? Yeah, it's actually you. It's actually you. And what we want is for the church to be the church, yeah? What we want is for us to enter into the kingdom of God and then manifest the kingdom of God in the world, right? We want to do this together. We want this to be a healing house so that when people walk in here, there is hope for change no matter what they drag in with them, right? All right, so we're going to do a healing service here in a second. This is what we're going to do. First, I'm going to wait on the Lord and see if he has any instructions for me. Why? Because if I obey them, my authority goes up. I'm working it. How's your faith, by the way? Feeling good? How many of you came tonight with a condition that you'd like to see healed? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up for me, because keep them up, would you, please? Okay, so that's like a third of us. That's great. I can't reach you all, but there are people around you. I'm going to check in with the folks that were at our little prophecy workshop this afternoon, and I'm going to ask you for words of knowledge. Is the Lord telling you some specific condition which you think needs to be healed on someone tonight? So let me check. Rachel had one, yeah? Can I get a wireless over there, Ted? I'm just doing this because this is good practice for the church, right? This is often how it will work in a meeting. What did you hear?
I saw a long bone, and I saw it with rods and screws in it, maybe by high impact injury, but that could just be a fluke.
Okay, so some long bone in the body is going to be in the arm or the leg, and it was obviously busted in such a way that it needed screws, obviously some surgery to heal. And presumably it still bothers you. The injury still bothers you. And so we'd like to see it healed. Does that apply to anyone? Over here? So just go over there now. Go take your wing, man. All right. Who else? Who else got? Sorry to Jack's got one.
Somebody has a neck injury that's causing head pains shooting up, that, you know, chronic head pain, neck pain, shoulders, or all the muscles are just all jammed up.
So shoulder neck injury unto head and shoulder pain, which makes sense.
It may also have been, I thought it was like a motorbike accident or a bike accident or something.
Bike accident.
A fracture in the cervical spine. Who is that? Spine.
Over there, Jack Six, over there now. Let's do these rapid fire, guys. Right here, Grace. Fire away.
Two things. One was from this morning, my eyes couldn't stop fluttering, and I just sense that there's something with eye condition for vision. and for discomfort. And the other thing, I don't know if it's related to the same person, is lungs. Asthma or painful breathing issues.
Asthma, painful breathing issues over here. Just go over there now, Grace. And some sort of eye, you probably have a number of these, actually. So you can start with that one. But yeah, having some sort of eye problem onto like spasms and something like that. All right. Is there another hand over here, guys? Matt has one. Fire away, guys.
Right elbow, maybe tendonitis.
Tendonitis, right elbow.
Yep.
Who's that? Over here, Matt. Just one? Okay. Oh, two. Sorry. Steve's walking over here, but he had a word of knowledge from migraines. So, see that man? There's probably going to be several, yeah. So that's, let's go, Steve will help pray. Go see Steve. This is just how we're going to start. You have a word of knowledge right here, Ted. I'll do one more word of knowledge.
It felt like somebody had some right hip pain, and it especially bothers them when they're sleeping at night.
Right hip pain that interrupts your sleep. Right over here. Oh, we got two? All right, start there. And who else was it? Oh, we got two over here. We got a bundle of right hip pain over here. So just keep your hands up. If you were in the workshop this morning, get over here and pray for these people. I mean, the workshop this afternoon. You know who you are. Good. All right, any other words of knowledge from the workshop type? Oh, Toria has something. Good, good.
This goes along with what Grace was saying, but right eye pain or obstruction in the right eye, blurred vision in the right eye.
Right eye pain, obstruction that compromises vision. Over here, Toria. All right, so these are great opportunities. The Lord is calling these out over here as well. Oh, word of knowledge over here. So these are great opportunities to start because it'd be a lot of, extra authority there. Do you have word of knowledge? Oh, right behind you, Ted. Oh, this was, oh, for healing. All right, we'll get right to you. Another word of knowledge. Ted is getting tired. We're going to pray for his stamina.
You can't stand. You can't actually cover
your. What you got, bud?
I felt like a cracked vertebrae in the neck.
Cracked vertebrae in the neck? Could be the same as Jackie's, but if you have a cracked vertebrae and you didn't respond, anyone? Cracked vertebrae in the neck. Over here. Directly opposite you. All right. Beautiful. So how many of you also have something which if it were immediately healed, you could immediately tell it was healed? So a condition you want healed, and if it were healed immediately, you could immediately tell. Can I have you stand up? Can I have you stand up if you can? If you can't stand up, you just have to wave your hand at us. All right, so who are the healers here? Everybody. So the folks who have stood, who don't already have somebody praying for them courtesy of a word of knowledge, would you please circle around these wonderful people? And I'm just going to pray over the crowd, and then you're going to use your healing ministry training that we just did to speak healing into their bodies, okay? This is the best way to heal the most people, and the Lord is gracious. Yeah, don't just sit if you can. Just get up and join one of these. Here's what you're going to do, people. Tune in for just 10 seconds. You're going to ask the person for a one-sentence description of the problem. And they're going to tell you, my leg hurts, or I have eczema, or chronic headaches. One sentence medical history, and then you're going to heal it. So ask them what the problem is, and they will tell you succinctly. We don't want a long story, we just want a direction. All right, you got it? Kindly lay a hand on their shoulder or, you know, the body part if it's appropriate. And speak a blessing of healing. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to help us out. Lord God, as you taught us to pray, we pray as your house. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here in this place as it is in heaven. I bless you, brothers and sisters, with the good order of heaven in your bodies. I bless you with the dominion of heaven's grace and kindness. Be healed in Jesus' name. Go ahead and release it. Go ahead and release it to them, guys. Go ahead and release it. If there's anybody that needs healing that isn't receiving ministry, can you wave your hand at me? If you're not covered, oh, Eloise. Get Eloise. Anyone else who needs healing that isn't already being ministered to? Okay, great. Go for it. We'll do a 3-minute healing service here. Speak to the condition and tell it to go away. Speak to the body and tell it to be blessed with healing. Lord, give them more, Lord. Let's bless that ear in Jesus' name. Open up, open up. Move on, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Give them more, Jesus. Give them more, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Release that to the knee. The pain's going away. In Jesus' name, the pain's going away right this second. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Increase, Holy Spirit. Activate, Holy Spirit. Thank you. I bless this house to be a healing house. More, Lord. All right, let's take a moment and check. See how they're feeling. See what changed. If they can test it, and they should be able to, have them test it. Check it out. Check it out. Flex the joint, whatever it takes. Give it a little test. Are we testing? All right. That was like 3 minutes. How many of you already felt a difference? Wave your hand at me. That's cool. Cool. All right. Can we focus here for just a second? If it's not totally well already, do it again. I'll give you another couple minutes. Just repeat. Lather, rinse, repeat. Do it again. But this time with a little more faith and a little more love. Repeat. If it's not totally done, keep at it. Increase, Lord. I just bless you with the full flow of God's blessing in your bodies. I bless those eyes in Jesus' name. Feel the difference. Be relieved. The Lord is with you. More, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you. Reach out and take it, brothers and sisters. You're doing great. You guys are doing great. Keep it up. Another minute, get there. Get there. In the name of Jesus, be relieved. More, Lord. Thank you. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. Just take it as it comes. More, Lord. More, Lord. Finish it. Finish it now. Just speak in faith and love. Finish it. Receive. All right. Amen. Everybody just focus back here for a second. Turn and face me. That was a 4-minute healing service. That was not long. We'll do another round here in a second, but I just want to come together. Come back. We're going to do more in a minute, but come back. All right. Let's pay attention here to the middle. Can I ask how many people received their healing in that very brief time? Can I see? All right, what happened to you, sir?
My ankle feels better because I injured it like 3 weeks ago, and now it feels much better.
You injured your ankle 3 weeks ago, so it was a 3-week-old injury. They prayed for it. Now it feels better?
Yep.
Well, that's helpful. That's good. That's one. How many folks experienced something? Who else in that brief time? In the back there, looks like, is that Luke? All right, what was your deal, Luke?
I injured my shoulder last week, and, like, it would really hurt every time, like, I would put pressure on it and,
yeah,
like, raise it, but it's not happening anymore.
You can raise it, and no problem?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Raise it.
And was that a heel? Okay. What happened?
I'm due for surgery, and I have a little more light in this right eye.
Well, you do for eye surgery, and they prayed for you. Now you have more light in that eye?
Yes, I felt the heat.
You felt heat?
Yes.
Wow, that's cool. Let's stay on that. I'd like to avoid the surgery. That would be very helpful, actually. Cool. Who else? Over here, Ted? I'm just trying to, I'm going to drop a little weight, Ted.
Hi. I've been having knee problem kind of progressively get worse since I was 12.
Wow.
Yeah, and it feels better today, like right now. But yeah.
Well said, well said. All right, who else got a 4-minute healing? Knee over here? You're doing great, buddy.
Right here.
Alvin. Alvin!
What was the deal?
I had surgery on this about 10 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was still painful. The pain lingered, especially when I sat down, crossed my legs, and it feels a lot better now. I don't feel any pain right now. I
cool.
even tested it by sitting down and crossing my legs.
You tested it out, no more pain. That's cool. Good job. Right next to you, Ted.
Yes, I had a pain in my shoulder. I can hardly sleep on this side during the nights. But I got prayer, and I felt like a warmness, and it just extends to the arm.
Wow.
And it goes down in my knees, and there was a tinkling there.
Nice.
And it feels
It got
better.
Warm, it got tingly, you had pain, you couldn't even sleep on that side, and you got warmth, and you got tingling, and no more pain? No more pain. All right, that's what I like to hear. Yes, sir.
Yes, earlier this morning, I got prayed for. I had a terrible neck pain.
Neck pain.
And tingling in my hands.
Oh, nerve tingling in the hands.
Yes. And praise the Lord, I don't feel it anymore.
All gone. Don't feel it anymore. All right. Well, I mean, we can keep going, but this is not bad for like a four-minute healing service, right? We're just kind of workshopping and getting the hang of this. We're going to do another round here in a second, but this is fairly good progress. We had more? I'll take a few more. This is good.
I had injured my back early this week, and it's been in pain. And before the service, Matt and I were praying, and I hugged him, and I was in pain. These guys just prayed for me. The pain's gone.
You couldn't even hug before service. Prayed for you. Pain's gone. Nice. Anybody from over here? I just did that to be cruel. Let's take a couple more, and then we'll move on to the other healings, okay?
I've got this little lumbar spine problem going on these days where one is pushed forward and pinching, and it
you
pinches
like
a nerve.
Pinched nerve in
yes,
your...
Yes, and I probably feel like 3 out of 10 sitting there, but now I feel nothing. And I've like tried moving all different ways, and I can't feel it, so it feels good. Yeah.
And right behind you.
Hi, I had a very frozen shoulder and a frozen neck from an accident so that I couldn't turn it without a lot of pain or at all. And as they were praying, there was a big crack. And better than a chiropractor, I'll tell you. And now I can turn my neck much more. I have much more freedom and the pain.
Angelic chiropractic. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. And I think probably more to come. More to come. All right. There are probably a few more that I'm missing. I bless you. That's great. I mean, the point has been made, right? So we just gave the Holy Spirit a little opportunity to work through us. You guys did great. You applied with a little faith and a little authority. You went for it. And not all of those injuries were life-threatening, although it sounds like one or two pretty significant things happened. But they were all gifts of grace for us, right? So that was kind of the warm-up. I asked for conditions which, if they changed, it would be immediately evident to you. And that's just because I figured that we could do something in the power of the Lord. And lo and behold, when the people of God minister the order of heaven, stuff tends to happen, right? That's a four-minute healing service. So I hope that's a testimony and an encouragement to your spirit, right? Okay, that's round one. Now I just like to do healing for whoever came for healing. Right? It doesn't matter if you could immediately observe it or not, if it's something internal, something to do with your heart or your chemistry or your cells. Now we just want to pray for you. And you might have to go to the doctor to see if it worked. But if we can do angelic chiropractic and make neuropathy go away, you know, obviously we can affect some change. And I think the good change the Lord has in store for you tonight will be significant. Yeah, that's my expectation. So for those of you who have a condition in which you'd like to be healed, maybe it wouldn't be immediately evident. Maybe it's life-threatening. Maybe it's life-altering. Could you just stand where you are if you can't stand? Just kind of signal generously so these very experienced healers could approach you with the grace of the order of heaven. That's all. If you're standing next to someone and you're both needing healing, just spread out a little bit so that everybody gets coverage. Who are the healers? Everybody. So I just encourage you to get up out of your chair and to find someone who needs a little bit of the order of heaven in their life and minister it just like you did there with some faith and some love. You guys are doing great. You guys are doing great. So here's the deal. You're going to walk up to them and you're going to ask them for a one-sentence medical description. They're not going to give you a big medical history. They're just going to tell you how to pray. All right, spread yourself around. I'm going to pray over the crowd, and then you guys are just going to fire away. So the Lord is in the house. Father God, our Father in heaven, let your kingdom come. Let the good order of heaven manifest in the chaos of our disease and injury. In the name of Jesus, brothers and sisters, receive your healing. I bless these bodies to come in line with their better intelligence to find a way to be healthy. I give you leave in Jesus' name. Amen. Go get them, guys. Go get them. Take 5 minutes and bring the kingdom. Give them more, Jesus. I just release the blessing of kingdoms healing. In the name of Jesus, be healed in your bones. In the name of Jesus, be healed in your organs. The spirit that is in you is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Minister to each other. Go for it, guys. Let it flow. You're doing great. Keep it up. You're doing great. Keep it up. Come on, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Bring it. Bring it. Let the Spirit guide you. Speak boldly. Jesus has trusted you with this. More, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Increase there. Increase there. Thank you, Spirit. Increase there. Increase there. Increase there. More, Lord. Increase there. You guys are doing such a great job. Such a great job. You're doing great. Keep it up. All right, look, without interrupting the ministry, just check in. How are they feeling? Is anything going on? What's going on in there? Just check in. Get them to work with you a bit. Maybe they can tell something's changed, maybe not, but check in. All right, say thank you for the update. And if they're not totally well in an obvious way, go back to the ministry. Lather, rinse, repeat. Go back to it. You guys are doing awesome. Let's not do a lot of conversation or explaining. Let's just release the healing. Keep it up. Press in for a few more minutes, guys. Release. That pressure from the head and neck, in the name of Jesus, it's lifting right off. Right off. You're just feeling it go. Pressure from the head and neck is just lifting right off. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It's lifting right off. Well, you guys are doing fantastic. Keep it up. Obviously, the Spirit's on some of you in a manifest way. I love to see it. It's like 30 more seconds. Drive it home, guys. You're doing great. Doing great. I bless the work of your hands in our hands, Heavenly Father. We seek to follow you, Jesus, in all things. Let your kingdom come through the likes of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, I know there's a lot going on there, but can we just all turn to the center again and take a time out, just a brief time out? Turn to me. I hate to be an interruption, but can we just take a moment together? We've gone this far together. Can we come back together, please? All right. So that was a healing service / workshop. Thank you for participating. Everybody, give yourself a hand. Can I just check in briefly? In that second round, did anybody get an obvious change that they'd like to report? What happened over here? Hey, guys, let's pay some honor here.
I'm a diabetic, and so I have degeneration in my eyes and on my right eye. I'm actually declared legally blind, so I can't see. And when they were praying, I was feeling heat on my eyes, and I can see almost clearly faces again. I can see faces
again.
Had
an eye legally blind. Now it's become almost perfectly clear. So it sounds like there's progress there. Obviously, somebody put a hand in that eye, and if there's any residual blurriness, let's take care of it. But that's cool. I like that. Anyone else get a real obvious one just in that? Eloise, right next to you, Ted. What was your thing?
Neuropathy in my feet from the chemo.
Yeah, it's very common. Neuropathy from the chemo.
Yes, and it's pretty much gone. And by the way, I have an old injury in my arm, and they were praying. That got healed.
They're praying for your feet, but your arm accidentally got healed. That's cool. Chemoneuropathy is so common. I like to see that go. Another one that was obvious in that second round. Go ahead. Let's take a few of these to encourage ourselves before bed.
I've been 20 years with sciatic pain.
20 years right. With sciatic pain. Oh, bless
so
you.
So I feel much better today.
No more pain?
No.
That's cool. Yeah. Awesome. 20 years. That's not bad for a 10-minute investment. That's kind of cool. Another real obvious one. Anybody get a change there in that second round? That is particularly clear. I know not all of them could be obvious, but. All right, look, guys. So that wasn't a huge ministry investment, right? I mean, we just took some time to be the hands of Jesus in the ministry of healing. So there are things that we can do to get even better at this, right? To walk closely with the Lord and to flow in kingdom heavenly order better than ever. And it is a privilege to walk with the Lord like this, right? there is a great service that you can do your brothers and sisters in healing ministry, and there is a great service that you can do all comers, right? Anybody that walks into the house of God in healing ministry. We did that in a more of a workshop-y type of way just to get everybody ministry experience. But even so, I mean, you know, joint pains disappearing, blind eyes opening, 20 years of sciatica disappearing, neuropathy going away. And probably given all of that, some cool things that we can't see yet, right? So praise God, you know, praise God. And this is the body of Christ just working together, right? The idea is a community of healing and a community of healers. And if there was something that I, you know, could deposit here this weekend, it would be that, you know, that it's not from the stage. I very intentionally touched no one the whole time, right? I'd like to hang out and pray for you for a few minutes after if you still have something stubborn, because you shouldn't get all the fun. Right? But we jumped in together and we were just the body of Christ. And there's just nothing more beautiful, you know? There's just nothing more beautiful. So thank you for doing that. We will pick it up here tomorrow and kind of make this our formal ending. I will hang out here much later if you want some more ministry. But take it and run. Take it and run. And be encouraged, the Lord is with you. Yeah? Father God, thank you for all the little grace gifts that we got tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts, that you would seal these changes in the bodies that have been blessed. And I pray, Lord, that you would raise us up more to be kingdom people, that as we enter the kingdom of God, we would gather into the kingdom of God in every way. The knowledge of God's character and the order of heaven in our bodies, the order of heaven in our spirits, the order of heaven in our world through justice and plenty and generosity. We pray this with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Bless you.